From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the third day of July, 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. And later in the program, we'll discuss the agricultural energies and futures there, including crude oil with Harry Cooney at Growmark in Bloomington, Illinois. And as we close out the discussion today, we'll take up the weather forecast with Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Along the way, we'll hear an update of the state statistician's view of crop conditions across the five top corn-producing states of the nation, and I'll give you my second audio diary update of the European Union trip I went on last week. And it all happens right here on the Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Checking the numbers as they settle up in Chicago at the CME Group on this third day of July. On a Tuesday afternoon, futures were higher. Nearby contract on the soft red winter wheat up 27 and three quarters at $7.82 and a quarter. September at $7.99 and a quarter, up 26 and three quarters. The hard red in Kansas City, a settlement price there at $7.85, up 25 and a half. Settlement prices in the corn pit have arrived. July futures at $7.18 and three quarters, up 26 and a quarter. September at $6.74, up 21 and three quarters. And December corn, $6.74 and a half, up 18 and three quarters. March futures, $6.82 and a quarter, up 18 and a quarter. In the May contract, $6.86 and a quarter, up 18 cents. July of next year at $6.89, up 17 and a half. December futures, $5.97 and three quarters, 11 cents higher for the day. July soybeans at $15.72 and a quarter cents, up 40 cents on the afternoon. August at $15.29 and a half, up 35 and a quarter. September soybeans at $14.98, up 35 and a half. And November at $14.74 and three quarters, up 36 and three quarters. January soybeans, $14.72 and a quarter, up 34 and three quarters. Next year's November contract at $12.96, up 18 and a half cents. Bean meal futures at $4.54.10, up $11.60. Bean oil up 77 at $52.97 for the day. Livestock finished the nearby August at $119.47 and a half, and the live cattle up 20 cents. August feeders at $147.40, down $2.25, and the August lean hogs at $94.87 and a half, 100 weight, down a dime. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, August contract, $87.53 a barrel, $3.78 higher. Ethanol at $2.35 and a half, that's up 6 2/10 of a cent. Natural gas at $2.89 and 2/10, up 6 9/10. And heating oil for the day at $2.75 and 3/10, that's 7 7/10 on higher on the diesel fuel. Gold futures for the afternoon at $1,621.30 an ounce, up $24.10, and the dollar for the day at 81.78, that's 0.06 lower on the afternoon. The weather forecast says it's going to be hot and will continue that way. This afternoon, mostly sunny skies, a high of 98 degrees. The heat index outside, 107. Drink your water, please. Southwest winds at 11 miles an hour. Take care of the livestock and your pets. Tonight, mostly clear and a low of 74. Southwest winds at 5 to 8. And tomorrow, sunny and hot for Independence Day. Get this, 100 degrees flat. Heat index at 107. Six winds at 6 to 9 miles an hour. Please don't fire off any fireworks, because we're just in a kind of rough space and you don't want to start any fires out there. And there's plenty of dry tinder to pick up just a little bit of ash from the fireworks. Wednesday night, partly cloudy, a low of 74 with a southwest wind at about 5 miles an hour. And Thursday, mostly sunny and hot, a high of 99 degrees and a west wind at 3 to 5. Thursday evening, partly cloudy and 78. Friday, sunny and 99. Friday night, cloudy and 77. Saturday, sunny skies, hot, a high of 96 degrees. And Saturday night, mostly sunny and hot, a high of 96. Mostly sunny on Sunday, 92 degrees. And then Sunday evening, a chance of showers, a few thunderstorms, partly cloudy, a low of 71 degrees. And Monday evening, or Monday day, that is, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny, and a high of 88 degrees. More on the weather when we get to the bottom of the half hour.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. As usual, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, is on the phone line to discuss the agricultural marketplace. Wayne, futures closed during the noon hour today, and they won't open again until 9:30. Today's trade, mostly, I suppose, about the weather market. Is that right?
It's all about the weather market and the outside markets a little bit today, too, Todd. Crude oil up over $3.80 as we close the grains, and the dollar being down 13 to 14 cents, and the Dow Jones being up 84. So headwinds, the winds blowing at our back today with the outside markets, and the weather is blowing the rain away from us.
Well, let's stay with the outside markets just a bit, because there's some skirmishes or some thoughts that there might be a problem in the Mideast with the Strait of Hormuz. Is that right?
Well, yeah, I think Iran tested a missile. They shot it off, and basically it has the distance, an intermediate-range missile has the distance it could make Israel. So starting to make a few people a little nervous, and that's what's pumping back up in the on the gasoline or the crude oil here today. And, we saw a couple advisory firms actually say you might want to purchase your fuel oil, propane, and weather needs through fall.
And turn your attention directly to the marketplace, all about the weather, I suppose, for both corn and soybeans, and what kind of problems the heat and dry conditions are causing across the Midwest?
Yeah, Todd, as we looked yesterday, we dropped 8 percentage points in the good to excellent in both the corn and the beans. We've got all sorts of people trying to use the crop ratings as a standard as to figure out what the production will be this fall. They extrapolated it out, and this takes people below 150 on the corn and below 40 on the beans in most cases. And, of course, that raises some real red flags as to what sort of problems we might have with our balance sheets come next year.
Do you suppose we have begun the process of demand destruction yet?
Oh, that's already that's big time in the works at these prices, Todd. I think that unfortunately, we're pricing ourselves out of different areas, and we're opening the door to Brazilian corn and Russian corn and wheat from around the world as to replace the corn at these levels. It's definitely happening.
You're not talking about imported into the U.S., of course.
Oh, no. From our share of
the
world
exports.
Yes, no, that's definitely no. I don't think at this point in time we're looking at importing any corn or beans into the U.S. Definitely not looking at that right now.
Indiana has been suffering as much as any state. How are conditions there in the Crawfordsville, New Market, Indiana area?
Well, if you go to Crawfordsville and you drive north towards Lafayette, life's good. If you go to Crawfordsville and drive about 3 miles south, life is just fair. And you get much farther south than that, and life's not real happy, Todd. It's, last weekend, we got about 0.3 inches of rain at my house, 3.5 miles south of Crawfordsville. Just to Newmarket, which is 6 miles south of Crawfordsville, they got less than 0.5. Crops are beginning to look rough as we have the agronomists out from the field looking at stuff. When they split open the corn stalk, they're not seeing a good, healthy stock inside there. They're seeing it being cannibalized already if you get down some of these areas. It's pretty dry. So we've got some very serious things going on in our corn crop right here. Little time yet for the beans, and we'd sure love to see a rain to make sure that we have at least a bean crop.
Sometimes July 4 is a point at which we change directions. Any possibility this year that'll be the case?
Hey, it's a full moon tonight. It's the 4th of July tomorrow. If you believe the American model on some of the weather, we could start to see a trend change in some of this weather next week, adding a little moisture. The European model, of course, dragging its feet and taking us at least to the next weekend before it adds much moisture to that. Like you said, historically, we see trend changes in weather around the 4th of July. So we're sort of hoping it might turn a little wetter just for all these farmers.
Wayne, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of 5 new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800 262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Find us online at WILLAG.org. I'm Todd Gleason. USDA NAS has released the weekly crop progress report. It shows as of the first day of July, 25% of the corn crop nationwide had soaked. That compares to the rolling five-year average of 8%. 48% of the corn crop is now said to be in the good or excellent categories, actually 8% excellent and 40% good. That's down 8% from last week and 21 percentage points below last year. 26% of the soybean crop is blooming. The rolling five-year average is 12%. The condition of the crop is 6% excellent, 39% good. Again, 8% below last week and 21% below the previous year. Now, here are the state statisticians from the five top corn-producing states in the nation in order.
This is Greg Tayson, director of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending July 1, 2012. Iowa's corn and soybean condition ratings declined for the week, even though rain fell across the middle of the state. Welcome rain fell from west-central to east-central Iowa on Friday, and scattered thunderstorms brought locally heavy rain to parts of southeast Iowa on Saturday night and Sunday morning. Rain totals varied from none over most of the northern third and portions of the extreme southern part of the state to 4.17 inches in Oakville. Statewide, average precipitation for the week was just a quarter of an inch compared to the normal of 1.15 inches. Temperatures for the week varied from a Tuesday morning low of 43 degrees in Belle Plaine to a Thursday afternoon high of 104 degrees in Keokuk. Temperatures for the week as a whole averaged 4.3 degrees above normal, with triple-digit heat reported in a few other locations on Wednesday and Friday. Topsoil moisture levels declined to 28% very short, 45% short, with the remaining 27% in the adequate category. South Central Iowa is the driest area, with the topsoil moisture rated 91% short to very short. Subsoil moisture ratings also dropped during the week and now stand at 73% short to very short. The hot late week temperatures and lack of rainfall in many areas stress crops and reduce crop condition ratings. With corn silking at 16%, 2 weeks ahead of normal, the condition of the crop declined 6 percentage points from last week to 62% good to excellent. The soybean crop is rated 59% good or better, down 4 points from last week, with 26% of the crop in the blooming stage. 68% of the oat crop has turned color and 20% has been harvested, 2 weeks ahead of normal. Hay harvest also continues to advance at a rapid pace, with second cutting alfalfa 76% baled, almost 3 weeks ahead of the normal pace. This is Greg Tayson reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Mark Schleusener with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending Sunday, July 1st. Last week was hot and dry again across Illinois. Statewide temperatures were above normal from north to south, and rainfall was below normal across the state as well. Generally, southern areas were hotter and drier than the rest of the state, but northern areas suffered as well. The two southernmost districts received no precipitation at all and were more than 5 degrees above normal temperature. The Northwest District received an average of 0.7 inches of rain, but that was still more than 0.3 inches below normal for the week. As a result of the hot and dry conditions, soil moisture declined. Topsoil moisture supplies were rated 52% very short, 37% short, and 11% adequate. Subsoil moisture declined to 49% very short, 41% short, and 10% adequate. The corn crop continued to advance in maturity ahead of normal pace. As of July 1, 46% of corn acres are silking compared to 6% last year and 15% normally. The average height of the crop is 64 inches compared to 44 inches last year and 49 inches for the five-year average. The condition of the corn crop was rated as 33% very poor to poor, 41% fair, and 26% good to excellent. Soybeans blooming reached 25% last week. This compares to 5% 1 year ago and 9% for the five-year average for this date. 31% of soybean acres were rated as very poor to poor, 41% were rated fair, and 28% were rated in good to excellent condition. This is Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in the Nebraska Field Office with the crop weather report for the week ending July 1, 2012. Triple-digit temperatures along with limited precipitation depleted soil moisture levels and caused crop conditions to decline. Soil moisture levels are at 21% adequate or surplus compared to the 85% five-year average. One quarter of the corn crop is in pollination stage, while one quarter of the soybean crop is blooming, both 11 days ahead of average. Corn rate at 56% in good to excellent condition, well below 83 last year and 80 average. Soybean conditions rate at 45% in good to excellent condition, well below 81 last year and 79 average. Wheat harvest was 3 weeks ahead of average at 69%, while oat harvest made significant gains at 60% complete. Producers were busy providing water with nearly half of the state's cropland irrigated. As pasture conditions declined, Western producers were supplemental feeding livestock and considering culling options. This is David Bierre of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Dan Loftus, Deputy Director for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report for the week ending July 1st, 2012. Hot, dry weather prevailed over much of Minnesota this past week. Statewide temperatures averaged 4 degrees above normal, and limited rain fell in localized areas. The greatest weekly precipitation total was 0.74 inches recorded in Pipestone. As of July 1st, top soil moisture supplies were rated 78% adequate to surplus, down from 94% a week earlier. 5% of corn was soaking compared to 0% last year and 1% for the five-year average. 82% of the corn crop was rated in good to excellent condition compared to 83% last week. 26% of soybeans were blooming compared to 1% last year and 6% average. Soybeans are rated 86% in fair to good condition. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Hello, this is Andy Higgins with the Indiana Field Office of USDA NAS, and this is the Crop Progress and Condition Report for the week ending Sunday, July 1st. Total precipitation during the week ranged from 0 to 0.89 inches, leaving 6.6 days suitable for field work. Several areas of the state experienced record-setting heat during the week, with temperatures reaching as high as 107 degrees in some southern counties. Scattered thunderstorms moved across the state over the weekend, producing damaging wind and hail in some areas. This past June was the third driest in Indiana, according to records dating back to 1930, falling only behind 1988 and 1933. Only 1.29 inches of rain fell across the state during June, which was just 31% of normal precipitation for the month. Currently, 85 of Indiana's 92 counties have burn bans in effect. 30% of the corn acreage has silked at this point, causing farmers to worry about pollination of the crop during this hot, dry weather. Corn condition declined again and is now only rated 19% good to excellent, compared with 58% last year at this time. This is the worst condition rating for corn at this time of year since 1988, when none of the crop was rated good to excellent. 28% of the soybean acreage is blooming now. Soybean condition also fell further and is now rated 20% good to excellent, compared to 57% last year at this time. Some of the double crop soybeans have been planted after wheat, but are having trouble germinating due to the lack of soil moisture, while other farmers are waiting for rain before they plant. 91% of the winter wheat acreage has been harvested at this point, with yields being better than expected in many fields. This is Andy Higgins reporting.
Our thanks to the state statisticians for their weekly updates. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Up next, more on my European Union Center trip to Brussels and Luxembourg today. We'll hear day two of my diary entries. Tuesday, June 26, 2012. Oh my, our second full day in Belgium is starting just as early as the first. 6:30 a.m. for breakfast, and then we're off to the European Commission building. It's a foreboding structure, almost prison-like from the outside because of the louvers that line its curve, and then a tower, a prison tower, dead center. I'm sure the Commission would not approve of my description. Nonetheless, this is how I see it from the street. Inside, we pass through security checks and eventually settle into a warm but very comfortable conference room. It's a bit UN-ish. We are arranged in a sweeping oval around the center, which is open. We each have a microphone in front of us, a set of headphones stashed in the desk from which we could listen to the interpreter if there were one. There is no need. Our briefing, and I believe that is truly the correct word, is led in the first hours by a Finn. Who knew the Finnish people were so dry-witted? The high school teachers are engaged in the geopolitical discussion. The give-and-take is easy, and the PowerPoint presentation is dismissed altogether, as it is quickly apparent the 3 days spent on the University of Illinois campus preparing for the trip has paid dividends. There was little need to recap the history of how the European Union came into being. We delved into the current challenges and the financial matters at hand instead. Greece, Spain, Portugal, Italy, Ireland, the possible expansion of the Eurozone, the prospects for Turkey's entry, and that of Iceland. The time passes swiftly. Our second briefing of the morning is not nearly so entertaining nor engaging for most of the group, but I'm enthralled as we pick through U.S. and EU trade relations and the groundwork being laid this year for a future free trade agreement that could harmonize regulations across the two areas. It might, for instance, create a common emissions standard so that automobiles could move more easily from one side of the Atlantic to the other. Paying attention to the regulations would allow the globe's two largest trading partners to set the bar by which all others might have to play. Now that's good stuff. We have one more lesson before lunch on the streets of Brussels. CAP, the Common Agricultural Policy. I am happy. NATO is next. It's a lengthy, hot, and humid transit bus ride to the headquarters of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Save the razor wire, this building is not nearly so ominous as the European Commission. One of our group thinks it looks like a big high school inside and out. Maybe, but most high schools don't require a passport for entry. All of our electronic devices are stowed at the gate. We arrive on an historic day. The members of NATO are deciding what to do, if anything, about the downing of a Turkish military jet by Syria. Well, the NATO reps discuss possible actions, and then, as is the case, we are told for each and every decision, the final question is if there's any opposition. The agreement is made in silence. If no opposition is voiced, then the action is taken. Classified, of course, but taken. Dinner is at 7:30. It lasts a few hours, and unlike NATO, our group is not silent. We're loud. Very loud. Yeah, we'll have more from my trip to Europe last week on Thursday of this week. On the phone line with us to take a look at the agricultural energy markets now, Harry Cooney of in Bloomington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Harry. Thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
Getting ready for a kind of a hot holiday coming up here.
100 degrees tomorrow is what we're expecting, so I suppose it will be a boiler maker tomorrow.
Oh, man, that's exactly right. We had a couple of firecrackers in the energy markets here in the last few days also.
Yeah, indeed. And one of those came out of the Mideast.
Well, that's right. I mean, the stories out of the Middle East have been fairly quiet for several months here. I mean, if you remember back till probably mid-February, sometime back in the wintertime, there was a lot of talk about Iran trying to shut down the Straits of Hormuz. And that is a small waterway that a lot of ocean-going oil ships go through. And the feeling was back then that they could try to shut down the straits, and oh boy, it just caused a bunch of turmoil. And of course, that's about right at the same time all the $5 gasoline talk at the pumps was developing also. Well, ever since then, it quieted down. The markets, of course, dropped. The crude oil dropped from about 105 down to about 75. And not hardly 1 ounce of talk coming out of Iran about that Straits of Hormuz. Now it's starting to surface again. The Iranians are talking about trying to make an attempt, at least, to shutting down the Straits. And so crude oil back up to around $88 at top today. So it's come way off the lows, coming back up. That's one of the reasons. Also, though, the stock market here in the U.S. is looking more bullish, back up around 13,000 now, and some of the outside markets have been rallying. Of course, we know the grains are rallying because of the weather, but the metals are trying to come back up. Gold's back over $1,600 an ounce. So we're having rallies in a number of markets here as we go into the 4th of July holiday.
You think the energy prices have bottomed?
I do. I think they've bottomed for the time being. I think for any end users that don't have any coverage on the books for the last half of 2012, I would want to have some coverage on the books. If they already have a certain amount already booked, then I wouldn't be really wanting to chase the market higher or anything. But for the end users that don't have anything on the books, I'd be getting some on the books, but also I'd be getting inventories filled up. If I was an end user that didn't have much on the books for or on inventory, don't have their tanks filled up, I'd be getting inventories filled up, because there are some supply concerns as we go out into the late summer and fall here, and some of those supply situations are already starting to show up in the western Midwest here now.
Hey, what happened to Europe? It just kind of fell off, well, at least the financial problems anyway, disappeared.
Well, and that's just what happened with the Straits of Hormuz with Iran. In the wintertime, it was a big deal. In the spring and early summer, it just fell off the radar. And here lately, that's just what happened to Iran, or Europe's also.
All right. Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Harry Cooney. He's with GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. Back in just a couple seconds, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with Don Day.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon, Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. On the phone line, good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Let's hear about the weather forecast first for the 4th of July. Independence Day is tomorrow.
Well, as we go and celebrate 4th of July tomorrow, it'll be like it should be 4th of July, hot and muggy across many areas of the nation's midsection. We're going to see some relief from the heat, not dramatic, but over the course of the next 5 to 10 days, we're going to see a very subtle shift in the jet stream pattern, but enough to send some cooler air south into the eastern and midwest areas of the United States. And this should eventually lead to a little bit more in the way of shower and thunderstorm activity. But we're going to have what we call air mass thunderstorms, where we don't have a front or storm per se coming through, but the combination of heat and high humidity and some surges of cooler air from the north helping to set off some showers and thunderstorms at times.
A little rainfall will not be enough. How far behind are we at this point, and what are your prognosis for getting rains that may not catch us up, but will at least make things livable in the next month or so?
Well, in terms of looking at soil moisture profiles, certainly we're getting some dry areas showing up in Ohio, central and northern Illinois, and Indiana. The rainfall that we see coming, since it is going to be a little bit scattered, is certainly going to probably keep us at a point to where we're not going to be able to catch up from our deficit right now. I do see enough opportunity for showers and thunderstorms at times over the next week or 10 days that I don't see us going into severe dryness. But certainly the cooler temperatures, slightly cooler temperatures will help out. We'll still average above normal, but we're not going to see the extreme heat that we just saw.
Are these widespread showers, or they just pop up, and are we talking 40, 50, 60% or larger areas of coverage across the Midwest?
Well, you're going to see 30, 40% coverage with these thunderstorms as they come on through. There's going to be a bit of a frontal boundary that's going to set up over the Midwest that's going to be the area where we're going to have the most action. And this boundary is going to migrate north and south a little bit over the next week to 10 days. So that's going to move around the area of showers or thunderstorms a bit. But we really won't be able to pinpoint the better rain chances until we get a little bit closer.
All right. Anything else to add on the world front that we haven't talked about yet?
Well, if we go around the globe, we see that Europe, Russia, Eastern Europe, Russia, they're looking at conditions a little warmer than normal. Europe is looking at good chances of precipitation. Soviet Union, Russia area looking a little bit drier. As you get over to China, their precipitation chances going to be mainly in the central and northern and western areas, a little bit dry in the south.
Thanks so much, Don, and have a great 4th of July.
You too.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. That wraps up this edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.